Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June 3rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. The current cash crisis in Zimbabwe is forcing some local people to start hoarding basic commodities.
We're just buying goods because we don't know what will happen to us because of the bond notes crisis.
Police attempt to force activists camping at Africa Unity Square to abandon a 16-day protest.
Right now, as we're having this interview, we have some of people from the state, so the government is listening. If they did not know what we were saying, they would not be sending their officials and riot police everywhere we are.
And it's do or die for the Warriors as they take on the Flame Lilies of Malawi in an Africa Cup of Nations soccer tie this weekend.
The team is good, we're in shape, and the people they are fit. I think we're going to win on Sunday.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Some Zimbabweans are reportedly hoarding basic commodities in anticipation of a food crisis as a result of the liquidity crunch prevailing in the country. This has resulted in restrictions in purchasing some basic commodities in the country's capital, Harare. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The unavailability of ready cash in local banks has forced some Harare residents to start buying basic commodities in bulk in anticipation of a food crisis. One such skeptical consumer is Meborane resident Rosemary Chinyadza, who said the current cash crisis might result in serious food shortages, almost like what Zimbabweans witnessed at the height of the nation's economic recession between 2007 and 2008.
We're just buying goods because we don't know what will happen to us because of the bond notes crisis.
The bulk purchasing of basic commodities has forced some shops to start limiting the purchasing of certain commodities. For example, a retail shop in Harare Central Business District was today limiting the purchasing of a 2-liter cooking oil bottle to one bottle per customer. Several shop owners in Harare say they are witnessing panic buying of basic commodities, with some customers expressing dismay over the current cash crisis, which has resulted in most of them spending a lot of time in bank queues. The situation is being worsened by the central bank's moves to introduce bond notes. Linda Masari Rambi, who works for a local company that operates from the city's central business district, said instead of concentrating on her job, she is now spending most of her time in bank queues looking for cash. Masari Rambi said she is unable to feed her family due to lack of cash to buy basic commodities.
The issue of this cash crisis in Zimbabwe is very, very, very troublesome. We don't even know how we are going to survive in Zimbabwe. We are forced to queue for long hours in order for me to obtain my hard-earned cash. And moreover, I'm being given $50 full of coins. From that $50, I'm supposed to pay rent, I'm supposed to pay fees, I'm supposed to buy food for the kids, I'm supposed to obtain my transport money in order for me to go back to work. I only get $50 a day, and I'm forced to wait for long hours to get that $50, 7 to 8 hours for me to get $50. I don't even know. Where are we heading? Are we heading back to 2008?
Gibson Zindove, who runs a car repair business in Avondale, said he is no longer depositing money in banks because it would be difficult for him to access it when he wants to finance his business operations.
We no longer have confidence in the banks because there are charges always. When you deposit the money, there are charges accrued. When you withdraw the money, there are also charges accrued. So we no longer have trust and confidence in the banks. And with the coming of bond notes, no one will ever put his money or her money in a bank because no one wants to change US dollar with the bond notes, which is fake money.
Reacting to the questions on panic buying and cash shortages, Love Moka Denge, president of the Zimbabwe Economic Society, said failure by most companies to access cash from banks was affecting the national economy.
Already our economy is not performing. We are encouraging local production. But local companies are also complaining because they believe there is a priority list from the Reserve Bank if you want to import raw material from South Africa or another country. For example, if I may talk in terms of oil and so forth, it's number 12, I understand, in the list in terms of priority. So it means even if you have your money in the bank, it cannot be paid there or it's taking longer. So already we're actually having challenges if you talk of the oil industry, cooking oil also, that things are taking long. So production is going down. So if production going down, there's more demand, and then the price of cooking oil and other commodities, the introduction of bond coins may create a problem. It's actually the introduction of the Zim dollar.
Kadenge urged Zimbabwean authorities to come up with policies that would restore confidence in the financial services sector and stop panic buying of basic commodities.
The intention of the governor may be very good, but I think he needed to do a lot of consultations first, rather than for now the government, even the Minister of Finance, saying we are consulting the World Bank and other different stakeholders. Consultations should really have started earlier.
Government sources told Studio 7 that Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Governor John Mangunjga was under pressure from unnamed senior government and ruling ZANU-PF party officials to shelve his plans to introduce bond notes following a public outcry and the prevailing cash shortages. But Mangunjga is on record saying the bond notes, designed to boost Zimbabwe's exports, would be introduced in October this year. At the same time, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa issued a statement Monday saying government was consulting the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund on the bond notes or coupons. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. One of the companies that is struggling to get cash for its operations is Gudu and Chukwuero Attorneys, a law firm co-directed by MDCT national spokesman Obed Gudu. Gudu says they are now failing to pay some of the workers without bank accounts. Banks are restricting cash withdrawals for individuals to at least $50 per day. Gudu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that some people are spending a lot of time in bank queues instead of engaging in productive work.
The highest daily limit that we are getting from one of the banks that we deal with is $500, in such a way that if you are going to look at the kind of work that we do, where we need money to pay for various disbursements, it is virtually impossible to run a viable law practice with that kind of daily withdrawal limit. It makes work a nightmare.
How are you paying your employees?
You find that the majority of our employees have got bank accounts, so at least it helps us in the sense that we just make direct transfers into their personal bank accounts. But you also have, especially the low-earning non-professional staff, most of whom, for one reason or another, don't have personal bank accounts. We normally would pay them in cash. For the past few months, we've had a big problem because we are not able to make a bulk withdrawal of money at the end of the month to pay them. So you end up having a situation where you stagger your payments and obviously causing a lot of inconvenience to those employees, particularly the low-earning non-professional members of staff.
Do you see this normalizing in the near future?
The way the economy of Zimbabwe is going, Jonga, I don't see anything happening for the better anytime soon.
That was Obed Gudu of Gudu and Chukwuero Attorneys, who's also the MDCT spokesman, on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Studio 7 is now streaming live talk on Facebook. Be sure to catch us every day from 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. for engaging discussions on important topics of the day. Share your thoughts live during the show. Our Facebook address is VOA Studio 7. That address again, VOA Studio 7 Facebook. Don't forget to like us.
Zimbabwean police today attempted in vain to disperse civil society activists set to camp for 16 days at Africa Unity Square to press President Robert Mugabe's government to tackle social and economic issues bedeviling the country. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
The protesters vowed to stay put at Africa Unity Square for 16 days and 16 nights, saying the country's constitution allows them to conduct public demonstrations. This was despite the fact that the police were in full riot gear and driving around Africa Unity Square near Parliament of Zimbabwe in armored vehicles with water cannons. Section 59 of the Zimbabwe constitution clearly stipulates that every person has the right to demonstrate and to present petitions, but these rights must be exercised peacefully. One of the protesters, Lynette Mudewe, coordinator and founder of the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, said they will not allow the police to drive them from the renowned place.
Right now, as we are having this interview, we have some of people from the state, so the government is listening. If they did not know what we were saying, they would not be sending their officials and riot police everywhere we are.
Linda Masarira, lead and founder of Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, added that some ZANPF activists last night also tried to disrupt their protest.
Last night around 7 p.m., about 12 young men came running in this park singing Munomaita Mutengesi and all. We ignored them because we know that when you are in a struggle, there are different issues that can happen or situations that they might want to provoke. But we are not here to cause any fights with anyone. We are just demanding answers, protesting against the government of this Zimbabwe, which has made us destitute in our own country. We are not here to fight with anyone, but we are demanding our constitutional rights as citizens of Zimbabwe.
The protesters today were demanding jobs, saying the majority of Zimbabweans are currently struggling to make ends meet due to the harsh economic situation. Masarira said some Zimbabweans' youth do not even know anything about getting a formal job, even if they are highly educated.
Why are we in the streets right now? It is because of unemployment. There are no jobs in Zimbabwe. Zimbabweans are now destitute. Right now, if you go to the high-density areas, young boys who are supposed to be at the productive age are roaming the streets. How can we be a productive nation when 90% of the youth are not working?
These sentiments were echoed by Brian Kasunzuma, one of the many unemployed graduates, who noted that thousands of young people are being thrown into the job market every year in an economy that does not offer them any work.
We have maybe the highest unemployment rate in the world.
The activists have different protest themes every day in an attempt to highlight most problems facing the nation. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
And it's now time to engage with Chioniso Jani in the youth show, Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioniso Jani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, we have two phenomenal ladies, and they're going to be talking to us about Unplugged Zimbabwe. Hello, guys.
Hey. My name is Elina Mutandwa. I'm one of the co-founders and directors of Unplugged Zimbabwe.
And I'm Chia Zidana, also one of the co-founders and organizers of Unplugged Zimbabwe.
What is Unplugged Zimbabwe?
Unplugged is a monthly live music event we have, which is held here in Harare, Zimbabwe. We showcase up-and-coming talent. It's also a family-friendly event.
Yeah, we've been running Unplugged for about 2.5 years now, and it's grown into a phenomenal success, which attracts between sort of 1,200 and 1,500 people every month.
I like your tagline. What is this about?
Love live music. Well, love live music is the idea of making the consumption of live music part of one's lifestyle. So it's about loving live music. It's about living live music as well.
This upcoming talent, do you just choose anybody? I mean, tell me more about this.
In the beginning, we used to actually go around and listen to musicians that were playing around in Zimbabwe. So we had places like Book Cafe where you could go and listen to up-and-coming talent. So me and Chiesa will go there. We'll go listen to what these young, talented musicians have got in store. And then when we get that, we get them to perform at Unplugged. And then I guess that's how we get our up-and-coming talent.
So how did this idea come about?
Alina and I were sort of just sitting around one day, and we didn't really have anything to do. We both love music. We're passionate about music, and we love live events as well. There was a similar event that was happening in Kenya, and we thought to ourselves, why don't we do something like this? There's not really a lot of opportunities where families can actually spend time together that are centered around music. And then the next month, we held our first Unplugged.
Any events that are coming up?
We've actually got an event tomorrow, which is Saturday the 4th of June at Palm Estate in Greystone Park. That's at 16A Stoneshad Lane in Greystone Park. That's at 2 p.m. Live performances end at 8.
The artists that we have performing are the amazing Dal Prazer, Macy and the Red, Ten Diamond, and Victor.
What do you think about the jazz industry in Zimbabwe?
Well, I think we've got very, very talented jazz musicians in this country. It's unfortunate that they're not as exposed as they're supposed to be. Because of the love we have for jazz, that's what we created. That's why we created this event Unplugged, because now we can showcase them and people can listen to the kind of jazz music we have in this country.
And just to add as a caveat, sometimes we have hip-hop artists, we have reggae artists. We've actually also had a couple of rock outfits come, Afrofusion and Afrojazz.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And that was Chiesa, Dana, and Elina Mutandwa. And I'm your host, Chioneso Johnny.
And now we take a look at regional and international news. A seven-year-old Japanese boy who was abandoned by his parents in a forest last week has been found. And punches at least one egg were thrown outside the venue where Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican U.S. presidential candidate, was holding a campaign rally yesterday night in San Jose, California. This is Studio 7 coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Under President Barack Obama's landmark Power Africa initiative, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently launched a new assistance program that aims to improve power distribution performance and increase connections in Nigeria. The two-year agreement will provide management consultation to three Nigerian distribution companies. The agreement will also advance major infrastructure investments and strengthen systems in the distribution companies. U.S. Ambassador James Entwistle witnessed the signing in Abuja between USAID partner Power Africa Transactions Reforms Program and the chief executives of the Abuja, Benin, and Eco Distribution Companies. We believe that distribution companies are the starting point for improving the entire power sector value chain, said Ambassador Entwistle. Through improving the performance of distribution companies, we will see increased electricity supply and access. Our joint efforts will improve the lives of countless Nigerians and serve as a model for other African countries. Announced by President Obama in 2013, Power Africa is working with sub-Saharan African governments, the private sector, and other partners, including Nigeria, to add more than 30,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation capacity and 60 million new connections by 2030. The initiative has already helped financially close over 4,000 megawatts worth of transactions, representing almost 14% of the initial 30,000 megawatt goal. In Nigeria, Power Africa supports the strengthening of the energy sector through credit enhancement, grants, technical assistance, and investment promotion efforts. Power Africa is also working to mobilize affordable and long-term financing to support capital and operational expenditure requirements for successor generation and distribution companies to accelerate electricity market development. The United States is proud to partner with Nigeria to help meet the country's power needs for a better future for the people of Nigeria and Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's do or die for the Warriors at the National Sports Stadium Sunday. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
The Warriors know pretty well that victory over the Flames of Malawi will bring them closer to qualification for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals. A win for Zimbabwe, coupled by a draw or a loss for Guinea in Swaziland, will effectively lead the Warriors to Gabon for the finals come January 2017. A draw or a loss will not do any good to the Warriors, as the silly nationality of Guinea are waiting on the wings to take control of the group with their last game at home to count on. Zimbabwe Football Association President Philip Chiangwa says he's expecting nothing from the Zimbabwean team apart from a win.
I plan to win. My game is to win. I don't expect anything from the technical team. I expect itself.
When the Warriors and the Flames last met in Lilongwe, Zimbabwe prevailed 2-1 with Kama Biliad grabbing a classic winner. Although he is a collection of international stars compared to the Flames, Warriors coach Kalisto Paswais warned his players not to be overconfident, for this would have some far-reaching repercussions. The winning goal against Malawi came from a set piece. The two goals in the 4-0 riot of Swaziland also came from set pieces, and so did the goals in Tuesday's friendly match against the Cranes of Uganda. Pasua says he knows this is where the success of his team lies and has been working on the set pieces to fine-tune his players.
As you know now, set pieces can win games. We need to have everything in place.
Biliad is with no doubt the star of the show. Former Warriors star and football analyst Alois Bunjira has challenged Biliad to transform his club form to the national team.
I hope that he takes that, you know, that confidence and, you know, that happiness that is within, that is inside him. I hope he takes it to the National Sports Stadium. Kama, you know, everyone is banking on him. And
with victory a priority, South Africa-based Kudama Hacho Golden Arrows is no doubt that the Warriors will win this game.
The team is good. We're in shape. We understand people. They're fit. I think we're going to win on Sunday.
After 10 years, the Warriors have never been closer to qualification than they are right now. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
In our music slot today, reporter Mavelas Mhlanganya Huye speaks with a top Zimbabwean musician.
I'm Cynthia Murray. I'm an award-winning singer and songwriter from Zimbabwe.
Tell us about your awards.
Okay, so I've won 3 Zima Awards, which are Zimbabwe Music Awards, for a song called Zwarimwe Odaizwa Ibvira. And I've won a NAMA award, which is a National Arts Merit Award, for a song called Motonga Upire.
I want to tell you a story about a girl,
which is a song I wrote for the girl child. In the UK, I've won a BAFTA award for the best Afro-Caribbean artist for a song called Catch Me When I Fall, and I've won a Zim Achievers award and a Zim award as well. And then in Zimbabwe, this year I also won said NCC Women in Enterprise awards, yeah. And I've had a lot of nominations as well.
And who inspired you to get into singing?
I remember watching Michael Jackson performing on TV, and I thought, wow, I want to do what he's doing. And then as I grew up, people like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey inspired me. I get him on the phone tonight. I'm gonna tell him what's on my mind. I'm gonna let him know I'm still alive. Ooh. And then I became, you know, a young woman in the UK. Then I started looking at people like Oliver Mtukudzi, Chioniso, and like really thinking, wow, they're doing their music, but it's a Zimbabwean sound, and that inspired me so much. And now I try to make sure that my music really shows that I'm an African woman and I'm Zimbabwean. And I also play keyboard, and the person who inspired me with that was Alicia Keys, so I started learning how to play it, and now I play it.
So what genre would you say your music falls in? You just said that you've now refocused and, you know.
Yeah. Right. It's Afrofusion. You know, I fuse pretty much anything I feel like was fusing in my music. So I would have like a bit of gospel, a bit of jazz, a bit of even the guitars are sort of played in a Zimbabwean way. But I'm not really limited to myself.
Give us a snippet of one of the songs that you performed at Zim Expo.
Sure. Okay, this is Aiza Ibira. Aiza Ibira. Ndaikumbira zuva rimwe, oh, ndikuudze zviri mumoyo mangu, amahayo. Ndaizvaibvira, ndaikumbira zuva rimwe, ndikuudze zviri mumoyo mangu, amahayo.
What inspired you to sing that song?
This is a song that won all the major awards that I told you about. This album and this particular song. It's about my mom. I lost my mom to cancer in 2011. So 2 days after mom's funeral, I was in the studio with Joseph Madzire, the CEO of Zim Praise Choir, and he produced the song and we co-wrote it. And I just felt like if I only could have one more chance to see her, you know. But of course, you always feel like that when you lose your mom. It never feels like it's right. You just want her back. So that's what I was feeling, and I wrote about that.
How much I loved you, and I hope you knew how much I appreciated everything that you did for me, all the love you shared, all the sacrifices. I love you, Mom.
Daikumbira zuva rimwe.
Thank you there to Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, speaking to Cynthia Mare. And now remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about panic buying of basic commodities and cash shortages. And now to recap today's top stories. The current cash crisis in Zimbabwe is forcing some local people to start hoarding basic commodities. Police attempt to force activists camping at Africa Unity Square to abandon a 16-day protest. And it's do or die for the Warriors as they take on the Flame Lilies of Malawi in this weekend. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande, and please do stand by for Ntunga Milinkomo and the news in Ndebele. Good night, Zimbabwe.